Terry O'Quinn had this balance where he could put on the mask of normalcy and then switch it to this maniacal, sadistic, rage-filled, crazy person in an instant. And the problem with Robert Whiteman is that he's fucking goofy. And I think he's honestly trying to do his best Terry O'Quinn impression.
There's a problem. He's like cornstarch as a human being.
Yeah, he is kind of cornstarch as a human being. Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show, the madhouse for film freaks and film fans of all types. I'm your host, Brian Connington. Join my fellow co-host and filmmaker, John Woolscroft.
Daddy's been working in the garden again.
For the third time.
That's the tagline to this movie. What is... What?
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that like for legit the tagline for this movie?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he...
Does he ever work... Did he work in the garden in the first
two
movies?
No, he did woodworking. That was his thing.
Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense.
No, there's a lot of things about Stepfather 3 that don't make any sense. But by the way, that's the movie we're going to be talking about today. Happy Father's Day. This is coming out about the week before Father's Day. So usually we're chasing the dragon on that one. And like we get like the day after. But hey, we're actually hitting it a little early. We're getting it the week before Father's Day. Continuing our long running series, we're coming towards the end of the original trilogy of Stepfather movies. If you followed us for the past 3 years, you notice we've talked about Stepfather 1 and 2, and now we're finishing it out with Stepfather 3. Will next year be the sequel? Not the sequel, but the remake?
The remake?
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. But we're finishing out the core original trilogy with 1992's Stepfather 3, the only direct-to-video movie in this series, and boy, oh boy, it's pretty fucking bad.
Well, rushed to HBO, limited VHS release, and the only DVD of it is in Germany.
So, that sounds about right.
So, yeah, nobody gave two flying fucks about this movie.
No, they did not. I mean, first off, John, was this the first time you saw Stepfather 3?
Yes, I had seen.
Really?
Mm-hmm, I had seen Stepfather 1. I hadn't actually seen Stepfather 2 until we watched it for the show, let alone Stepfather 3. And I have not seen the remake, so I guess I'll be seeing that next year around this time.
Wow. See, for me, I had seen this one first before any Stepfather movies. Oh, because geez. this played on HBO and I was the HBO kid back in the 90s, I watched this one like multiple times. I loved it when I was a kid because I didn't know any fucking better. But I watched this and then had watched the originals, you know, honestly, for this show. So like I went the opposite direction.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But, rewatching this again, and I'm coming literally right off the heels of watching it. We had to delay our recording because, I had my live stream for Libsyn earlier today and a lot of things going on. And I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to see Stepfather 3. And sure enough, plowed through it. Thank you, Tubi, for putting the movie up for free because I never want to pay for it. Was able to watch it. So I literally am coming off maybe 10 minutes after watching it. So I'm fresh. That's what I'm saying.
I watched it on Tubi as well. I initially went, I'm like, I don't want commercials, so I'm going to watch it on YouTube. The YouTube of it is not watchable. It is too grainy.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Not that the Tubi one was like a 4K restoration or anything.
You know, but I know this is a sidebar here, but I got to say, I am very impressed by Tubi and what they offer. Have you watched any stuff on Tubi?
Probably. Yeah. If I can't find something anywhere else and it's free on Tubi, I check out Tubi.
You know what I found that was on Tubi is a lot of weirdo series from the 90s that you forgot existed. So like, again, I know this is, we're not talking about Stepfather 3 yet, but don't worry. We'll get there. But like, did you ever watch this series from Showtime called The Hunger?
No.
Oh my God, John. It was one of those series that, like, it came on right before the softcore porn came on. So it was the go-between series, you know? It was like you had this, you had Red Shoe Diaries. Did you ever hear Red Shoe Diaries?
I'm okay. Aware of, yeah.
Yeah.
Famed so, pervert David Duchovny and Red
Shoe. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So you had this, you had then Red Shoe Diaries, and then it would go straight into, like, whatever softcore porn was playing that night. I only know this because I watched it. But I don't care. So
belly button fucking.
Yeah. But anyway, the Hunger series was basically erotic horror from the mind of Tony Scott.
Tony Scott? Oh, that yes, Tony Scott?
That Tony Scott.
Okay.
Days of Thunder, Tony Scott. Yes. So it's from him because the original Hunger movie from the 80s was made by Tony Scott. So yeah, this is a series based off of that, and it has Terrence Stamp in it, who plays this very bizarre, like, Crypt Keeper-esque character who basically is, like, telling these weird stories that involve horror and sci-fi and sex. There's a lot of sex in it, and it's all, like, the belly button stuff. So, like, I discovered it. I found it again on Tubi. That's how this all wraps around to it and why I'm saying, like, Tubi is kind of like the media black hole. You know,
yeah,
you things never know what you're gonna find,
and really shitty movies made for $13, you know, yeah, that they want distribution. But speaking, yeah, of which, you know, the budget for this movie was $1.8 million, which tracks.
That's about $1.8 million too much.
I mean, it's the only reason I can think that they make a third one, considering, you know, they couldn't even get the main actor back. And this is terrible. I'm like, how could they possibly make any money off of this? I'm like, well, I guess at a budget of $1.8 million, it would really have to just bomb and bomb hard. But
yeah.
Oh, Brian, you were like, I need to make sure I see Stepfather 3. No, you don't. You can just watch Stepfather 1.
And well, John, for those who have not seen this movie and have not seen Stepfather 1 and 2, let me give you a little synopsis, okay?
Yep.
So the synopsis for this movie is, and this is from IMDb because, of course, it is, that psycho stepfather has escaped from the insane asylum and had his face surgically altered. Now he's married again, this time to a woman with a child in a wheelchair. He goes on a killing spree once again.
Does it have to be the same character?
Yes.
I mean, it's not Freddy Krueger. You know, it's not Jason Voorhees. Just have it be another guy who kills a family.
Well, here's my thought on that is I feel that the Stepfather franchise was afraid of getting stuck in the Halloween franchise problems. Like, remember when Halloween Season of the Witch came out and people lost their fucking shit and said, where the fuck is Michael Myers at? So I'm wondering if just because that was still somewhat, I'm just saying somewhat fresh in people's minds. I mean, this was 92. So they probably produced it in 91, and Season of the Witch came out in what, early 80s?
83.
So there's less than 10 years there. So I'm guessing that they felt like they had to keep that character because they wanted to not get stuck in a Halloween 3 thing. You know, and plus, you don't have Terry O'Quinn in this anymore, so you have to figure out some way of making it work. And they chose plastic surgery.
From the shadiest plastic surgeon you've ever seen.
Well, I love it how the opening of this movie, and again, just like with her last week's episode on Madam Web, this is going to be all over the place, folks. I apologize. The opening of this movie has Stepfather in Blue Land.
Yeah.
Like, literally Blue Land.
Apparently Michael Mann guest directed this part of the movie. Yeah.
I understand the concept of adding blue to everything to like a little like hint to something to make it look like, oh, it's nighttime, it's foreboding. But like, explain to me, John, why the director behind this, Guy Magar, that's his real name, thought, hey, I'm just going to take a blue fucking filter, make it just tinted completely blue.
If I have some film analysis.
Yes.
To break this down, I believe it was because of.
It sounds about right.
Yeah, that's all. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they were trying to do, but it's baffling. Like, I understand pushing a certain color and doing color grading, but not to that level. It's not like he was getting his surgery done in a meat locker or freezer.
It literally looked like a Smurf had exploded onto the lens.
Oh, yeah, just Smurf jizz everywhere.
Smurf jizz everywhere.
Papa Smurf just unloading, you know.
Yes, and it's in the, you mentioned before, the plastic surgeon is quite literally the grossest plastic surgeon ever. This guy, he's like, I got a cigarette in my mouth. I got multiple cigarettes in my mouth. Probably have lung cancer. Gonna work on you. Yeah, you gave me the right amount of money. It's like, how does he know what the right amount of money is? Like, does he advertise it in, you know, shady plastic surgery Craigslist?
Well, it's 1992, so maybe it's like in a back of some sleazy magazine, you know?
Auto Trader.
Yeah, he's got, you know, Yellow Pages.
You're giving him way too much credit for Yellow Pages. You got, this is 92, John. I mean, come on, Yellow Pages. You got to spend some money for that. And this is a shady back alley, you know, plastic surgeon, which of all the things, why shady black back alley plastic surgeon? Like, why would you advertise that sort of thing? You know,
I feel it's word of mouth. You know, it's like, hey, Terry O'Quinn, who's not Terry O'Quinn, if you break out of this insane asylum, I know a guy that for this very specific amount of money, he will fix your face up. But I see, I accept that because I'm like, okay,
you accept that
this is a stupid movie. He has to explain why his face is different. I want to know how he is, why he's immortal.
He's the Highlander.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Ignoring that he should have been dead in the first one, he took a bull peen hammer, the back end of a bull peen hammer, to his heart in the last movie. And but no, it's fine. Yeah. He's perfectly fine.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Don't worry. Don't ask too many questions about it, John. Don't ask too many questions. Don't ask too many questions. And you know, you know for well that Guy Magar probably was like, hey, we're going to do a Stepfather 4. And this time he's going to come back, but he's not going to have any legs.
It'll be like the Chucky.
He'll be stumpy. Yes. He'll be just stumpy for Stepfather. Well, what happened to you, Keith? Well, you know, I don't know. I used to work in Louisville and I had a really nasty accident.
I was in the war.
I was in the war.
Which one? Whichever one makes sense
all
to
of
you.
Them.
Yeah.
All, yeah. But I guarantee you they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to do Stepfather 4, depending on how well this one works out. You know? Oh, shit. But yeah, our hero, if we want to call him that, Stepfather gets his face all fucked up. And he, of course, thanks the plastic surgeon by doing what any good patient would do. Kills him. Just fucking kills him.
I mean, I wonder, did he take his money back after that?
It's well, like, I mean, of course.
Yeah, when you play Grand Theft Auto and, you know, like you bang the hooker and then she gets out and you're on the bluffs and then you just beat her with a bullpen hammer and get your money back.
You've done a lot of that, huh, John?
That's all I do in that game. Apparently there's missions. I didn't realize.
There are missions. There are things you're supposed to do. I'm pretty sure that none of them are go kill a hooker. Just spitballing that one there, John. I think you might want to get, like, you know, some help.
Oh, what? But I thought it was okay to kill 376 hookers.
Oh, 376. Okay. He kept it a nice even number. Good to know.
See, sometimes if you don't want your money back, you can just park at, like, the edge of a cliff. So when she goes to get out, she just falls to her death.
Oh God, you just took this episode to a really dark place, John. Oh shit. Does your fiance know your proclivity for killing hookers in Grand Theft Auto?
Well, my one friend was like, watch this, and he had the machete. It was Vice City, and he goes into the dance club and just starts swinging this machete, blood everywhere. And the stars are go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Good times.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
what are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking about Stepfather.
Yeah. Who are we on this one again?
Who are we on this one again? Oh, yeah. Stepfather. So Stepfather this time is played by John Boy from the Waltons, by the way. Robert Whiteman. Good night, John Boy. I'll fucking kill you later because you're not my perfect family.
Which
I didn't hate him. I didn't hate him in this. You know?
But he's not sinister in any way, shape, or form. I feel like a strong wind would blow him over.
Well, I think the problem is, like, Terry O'Quinn had this balance where he could put on the mask of normalcy and then switch it to this maniacal, sadistic, rage-filled, crazy person in an instant. And the problem with Robert Whiteman is that he's fucking goofy, like really fucking goofy. And I think he's honestly trying to do his best Terry O'Quinn impression.
Yeah, I got that feeling too. But there's a problem. He's like cornstarch as a human being, you know?
Yeah, he is kind of cornstarch as a human being.
So yeah, I don't feel anything like any intimidation from this guy at all. And it doesn't help your movie. It doesn't help you at all when you dress him up like the Easter Bunny at the beginning of the movie.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
It'd be like Freddy Krueger in like a bonnet and a diaper. It's like, no, don't do that.
Or even if you just like, let's say you had Freddy Krueger dressed like Santa Claus before everything goes to hell. You know, like it's like that. And I don't understand why this is our introduction to him, because it already makes him pathetic as all fuck, which I guess that's this man's superpower, that and probably a 10-foot long dick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I still don't get how Stepfather gets all the women.
Because, well, I mean, he's very good at carrying on the facade of the nice guy. You know, he's everything that you need him to be because he's a brilliant, like, manipulative sociopath. So I kind of buy that. But also, if you're going to dress him up like a bunny, also don't have him get sexually harassed by his male boss in the same scene as well.
Did he do that?
Yeah, his boss smacks him on the ass.
Oh, I missed that one.
And he goes, sorry, fodder. You know?
Oh, of course. Sorry, fodder. Yeah, I missed that one. The only thing with me, the bunny thing, is just, one, he looks pathetic. And then, like, they go to the dance, which I don't know why you have a Easter bunny dance, but hey, whatever.
The bunny hop, you know.
Bunny hop, sure. And he's just weird because he's, like, roaming around and picking up people's food on the tables and just snacking on it. Like, he snacks on carrots because, oh, well, you got to keep in character. And I'm like, how is this making anyone find him attractive? Especially Priscilla Barnes, who plays Christine in this.
I kind of get him roaming around. Like, it's hard to join a conversation circle when you look like that. Be like, oh, hey, you guys talking about fantasy baseball? Like, get away from us, bunny. You look like a freak. So,
yeah, it would honestly make more sense if he just, like, I don't know, change into regular people clothes like afterwards, rather than be the only moron roaming around the dance dressed like a Easter bunny after the Easter bunny thing's done.
I think what they were trying to get across was that, yeah, he does kind of look silly and kind of pathetic, like, and that to a female suitor, like, oh, he must be harmless because, like, for him to look so pathetic, like, this guy isn't a threat. Maybe they're going that route.
I just think it looks silly and doesn't fit at all. But yeah, Stepfather, he like with everything is able to swoop in and steal a family. And his family is filled with, well, you know, probably the most attractive people in the town. Like, yeah. He always gets the most attractive people in the town. Last time it was Meg Foster. Before that, it was, I forget who the actress was before that, but it's always like the perfect 10 in the town he gets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, he's got, you know, BSKDS.
What's that?
Big serial killer dick syndrome. You know?
Well, I'm telling you, the man's got to be swinging massive pipe.
They could see it, and when he was hopping around as the bunny.
Yeah. They're like, is that a carrot in your pants, or you just happen to see me? He's like, what do you think?
Well, and that's, I think the biggest problem with this movie in this, I don't know, three, I guess we call it a franchise, if there's three of them, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that the whole premise is the slow build to the violent end. But with every one of these sequels, you need to up the murder count and the gore count. So they have to like try to go out of their way to find people for him to kill. Like when he's at the dance and the guy that Suzanne Summers, I know it's not really her, like has broken. Oh,
that's a deep cut. Yeah. That's a deep cut there. Because she, Priscilla Barnes did play the replacement for Suzanne Summers.
Which makes sense, yeah, because yeah. She looks like Suzanne Summers in Step by Step in this movie. But
she does, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to cut in, like, her ex-boyfriend. And he's like, come on, I wanted us to be a family. Like, you forget this bunny, you know, family. I'm like, oh, you're here to die.
And sure enough, he does.
Yeah, we need, like, the beginning of a second act murder, you know, so
you're here to die. Yeah. Yeah, he's there to die, and it's like they just set him up there, and sure enough, he becomes a flower planter, which I don't understand how no one could think that there's something off about a flower planter in the shape of a human that's raised that high up.
Yeah,
like it's a quite literal mound that's at least I'd say at least 2 feet up off the ground. You know, and like I've seen, I don't plant flowers at all because if I tried planting flowers, they would die. But I'm just serious. Like I have the no green thumb at all. But like every planter I've ever seen from people who do plant shit, it's always flat or slightly raised, maybe about an inch. This motherfucker is like 2 feet, a mound, 2 feet off the ground.
Well, Brian, you know, there's a rule when you're a serial killer, you can only have a shallow grave.
That's true.
You can't dig deep, just shallow. Yeah.
And I find it funny that later in the movie, it comes back and he's talking to his side piece because this one stepfather has a side piece relatively soon. And he's like, yeah, I use special fertilizer for that. It's called human.
Yeah. Well, he has a side piece because he finds out that his like lady, after having the main kid from the Burger King Kids Club, is now infertile.
Yeah. You're jumping ahead, John. There's so much more. So much more. I did want to take a moment and talk a bit about some bad reviews because we had jumped right in without even talking about some bad reviews. All right. So let's look at some of these bad reviews. And John, you haven't seen any of these, right?
Nope. Not a single one.
All right, so let's take a look at this first one here. A very cheesy sequel which should never have been made. It's quite comical with the stepfather dressed as a pink rabbit, a wood chipper machine which is just waiting for someone to fall in it, and a drunk chain-smoking plastic surgeon. It's all so bizarre that you just have to watch till the end and hope there is no stepfather for...
Well, congratulations. There is no stepfather.
There is no stepfather for, and it is cheesy. It's a cheesy film. It's, you know, it is what it is, you know?
It's not trying to be truly terrifying. This isn't Hellraiser or, you know, or The Exorcist. This is turn your brain off and wait for the next gore scene and hopefully a boob, which you don't get, but you know,
no, there's no boobs.
It's like, oh, maybe I'll see some gore and some beebs, you know, and I'll put it on in the background while I'm doing something else. That's really what this movie is.
And even the gore in this is not very good. Like a lot of it is show something off camera, then show the result of it. So like stepfather, and I'm going to refer to him as stepfather because that's what he is. He when he kills Mark, who was the other guy who used to date Christine.
Yeah.
He just like has a shovel and like smacks him in the kneecap. And you don't see that impact. You just see, here's the prosthetic bloody thing that we have on his knee. And then it cuts back to a shot of, you know, stepfather's being like, ah, I'm going to fucking kill you. And then back to a screaming Mark and then another hit, but we don't see it. and then just the reaction. And this happens all the time in this movie. Like when stepfather kills his boss, when he kills Father Brennan. Like it's all like, hey, we're not going to show you anything, but then we'll just show you the result of it. And you could say like, well, I prefer that or not. And that's smarter because obviously nowadays if they did it, they would show everything. But it is kind of clunky and can kind of be like, well, that doesn't seem very impactful.
Well, let's face it, they're not doing it to be smarter. They're doing it because they don't have the time or the money to give really good effects.
Right.
I think they shot this movie in like 30 days or something like
that. I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. Not surprised by that. All right. So let's jump to review number two. Almost 2 hours long, no Terry O'Quinn, and a wheelchair user can actually walk if he tries hard enough storyline.
Hey, Mr. Reviewer, there is such a thing as having psychosomatic issues.
True.
So it's not that, you know, he's willing his way through the power of Jesus. It's that he doesn't need the wheelchair, but he doesn't accept that, you know?
Yeah, it's a very, I think it's a weird whole circumstance. I understand why it's there, but I think one person on IMDb said this perfectly. They're like, if you went 2 years without walking, your muscles would atrophy.
Yes.
And you would not be able to get up. So there is no way in hell that Andy can get up out of that wheelchair through the power of sheer will, because he has no muscles there.
You know what I would have done to get him to walk sooner? Get him like $40 worth of Taco Bell and then put him to bed and then take his wheelchair out of the room, take it downstairs and be like, you got to take a shit. You got to walk to the toilet, bitch.
Oh, you wouldn't just play football with him in the backyard and then screw him for not catching the ball and not like run. Like there literally is a scene where stepfather is trying to bond with Andy. And it's our first inclination that stepfather is a crazy person. Where he's like, we're going to play football because I know that you can get up out of the chair, but I'm going to be the one to do it. So I'm going to push you towards doing it. So like they have him positioned near a pool, which I'm like, that's dangerous. And he starts throwing the football at him. And Andy's like, I can't get it because I got no legs. And stepfather's angry at him because he doesn't have any legs. And then he falls on the ground. And he literally says to him, like, quit whining. Jesus fucking Christ, dude.
Well, we constantly need reminding that, like, stepfather's evil.
Because
the whole time he's putting on the act. So, like, the audience could almost forget. Like, oh, what a lovely family. What is this movie about? Oh, he's a murderer? Okay.
He's a murderer. Crazy person. Yeah. All right. Let's jump to review number three. Well, this is a big one. Wow, sometimes the only way you can gain your ability to walk again is by pushing your stepfather into a wood chipper, you know? I watched Cube yesterday and this film today, and they were straight up two of the dumbest movies I've ever watched in my entire life. I loved them so much, lol. But also, my last brain cell is probably working so hard to even stay alive at all right now. Maybe I should read a book or something. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you should always read a book.
You should always read a book.
Yeah.
Or at least an audiobook. At least an audiobook.
Maybe they did, you know, like those, like the book adaptations of movies. Maybe she should read Stepfather 3's book adaptation.
How would that be? Like, we would get the inner dialogue of Stepfather, you know, as he's grunting and groaning, as he's chopping up wood outside the window of his stepson, which I gotta tell you one thing, and this is just blanket statement. This is the dumbest version of stepfather when it comes to, like, I don't know, trying to make sure that not everyone knows you're a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of them, like, the, you know, you go back to the first film where stepfather has disguises and shit, and he's wearing a wig, and he's like literally James Bond-esque. And this stepfather is killing people in his own fucking town. He's double dealing with a side piece in his own fucking town. Okay. And then on top of that, he is like acting insane in full view of his family members. Like, is this stepfather just lazy at this point?
Well, here's the thing. I think this town is overly trusting because our little boy in the wheelchair, his best friend is a priest. So they trust him not to like fuck the kid. So they must trust everybody. Especially since the kid can't run away when the priest.
I was going to say, not really a thing that was, you know, in the news as much in 1992 as it is now. But the relationship between Father Brennan and Andy is too close for comfort, given all we know now about the priesthood and little boys.
Hey, come into the church's game closet with me, little wheelchair boy. Oh, well, my rosemary beads get up my ass.
or my personal favorite is the, hey, let's go ahead and play that detective game so I know what things I shouldn't do to be caught.
Yeah. It's like, what is it, sonny boy? Strangling? Ass rape? Face eating? It's like, oh, I have to play the game and find out. All right.
It's like, well, yeah, you tell me what the thing is, right? And then I'll buy you an ice cream cone.
I'm leaning towards raw dog ass rape. Well, we'll see.
Oh God. Yeah, it's very unsettling given modern eyes. I guess that's the thing I would say to it, like given our modern understanding of the priesthood, it does not at all age well at all. And I do find it hilarious that Andy in this is you know, smarter than just about every protagonist in the other stepfather movies.
Oh, like, yeah.
This kid figures out in a matter of, you know, minutes who stepfather pretty much is already onto him without really anything. Like, remember when the first stepfather movie came out and you had the brother who was like all coked out? He was like busting through doors just to try to track him down. And he ran circles around him. Well, not ran, wheeled circles around him. by this, like that guy should have had an Andy, and he would have got a hold of stepfather within the first act. But yeah, I also think that Andy might have grown up to be the head of the Patriot Act.
Fellas, blink if you haven't gotten your Father's Day gift yet. Yeah, we thought so. But today's episode is brought to you by Manscaped's The Leader in Below the Waist Grooming. Maybe your pops has had the same bush since the 1970s, and that's okay. But our friends over at Manscaped have crafted the total package for that special day. Whether it's for the boys downstairs, his beard, or even the best pair of underwear out there, Manscaped has your bases covered. Head over to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, you heard me, free shipping with the code CINEMA20. From daddy to zaddy, trust Manscaped. But hey, Brian, I don't know why I'm talking about Father's Day. I don't have any.
You don't have any kids.
And you got like 30 of them. So
shut up. I don't have 30 of them.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about why this is the ideal Father's Day gift?
All right. Well, let me tell you something here. Okay. I have 4 kids. Okay. I have 3 stepsons and 1 daughter. And as I've gotten older, you know, the act of shaving and the act of grooming and all that fun stuff, you know, it's relaxing to me. Like it really is something where, you know, I really enjoy the act of shaving. Like I work from home. So like there are days when I'm like, I'm not going to shave. So I'll have like a week's buildup on my head and then my beard and of course my balls. And, you know, for me, you know, getting that, you know, couple minutes here and there to like really, you know, clean everything up and look human is important. And, you know, I think more dads need to focus on that. And with that said, I mean, you know, your dad or whoever's dad, you know, they might have a beard trimmer that maybe is really old and it's rusted and it needs some tender love and care. And that's fortunately where, you know, our friends at Manscaped have it covered. Introducing the face shaver. That's a must have for that smooth finish that daddy loves, the Manscaped Handyman. Powerful and compact, this face shaver isn't just for home use. It's perfect for quick touch-ups on the go. Its precision blades ensure a clean shave every time, making it an essential tool for any dad's grooming kit. If your dad prefers rocking a scruffier beard like myself, you know, I'm not going clean shave on the beard, then the Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the ultimate beard maintenance tool for him. This all-in-one kit includes the Beard Hedger, Manscaped's most advanced beard trimmer, along with shampoo, conditioner, oil, and balm for his beard. It also comes with a brush, comb, and scissors so he can style his beard and mustache like a true gentleman, right? You know, you want to look good.
With summer just around the corner, the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the perfect gift for him. Designed for his hairy daddies in mind, his balls. It features his signature lawnmower 5.0 for all of his grooming needs for his balls.
Jesus Christ. While you're upgrading his grooming tools, don't forget about the underwear drawer. That set of underwear that maybe he got in the 1990s. They've been sitting around a little bit and maybe they got a hole somewhere in the stretch. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, Manscaped has you covered there too. And with that said, we've got the Manscaped Boxers 2.0. And they're here to help. The Boxers 2.0 are crafted with a simple mission in mind. To be quite literally the most comfortable pair of boxers that you have ever, ever owned. What makes them so special? Their secret jewel pouch. You know what I'm talking about. A dedicated space that cradles your stones in place with a perforated performance fabric for extra breathability. John, have you actually worn the boxers that Manscaped gave us?
I actually have. I enjoy them quite a bit because back in the day before Manscaped, if I shaved my balls, it looked like Lemony Snicket's head. You know, just random hair everywhere because it was just never comfortable enough to do it. But now that I've got like a Mr. Clean head for my balls, completely smooth, this underwear does help protect that because no matter what type of tool you're using, you know, Manscaped's the best on the market. It's still going to be a little sensitive because they're balls. So having this underwear to really cradle them is extra level nice.
Nice. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code CINEMA20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the code CINEMA20. Never forget where you came from, if you know what I mean. Happy Father's Day from Manscaped.
You came from your dad's balls when he banged your mom.
Well, I think Andy grew up to open a school for gifted youngsters.
Why do you think that?
Oh, that was a Charles Xavier joke.
You think he's Charles? Well, he's got his legs back, John.
We'll see for how long.
Well, you think it's like long. X-Men Days of Future Past where he's only his Days of Future Past, like he only had it for that moment before his mutation kicked in. No, I think Andy grew up and he became the head of the Patriot Act, like the NSA and spying on Americans, because this kid is no problems and no qualms and has every ability in the planet to go and hack the Department of Motor Vehicles for two states and, you know, puts two and two together and has no problem spying on people. So like he just kind of seems like, yeah, he's going to grow up to be somehow in the CIA.
And this is back when we were terrified of computers. We didn't understand them. And we also assumed that they could do anything when they could do nothing. And they always use that word hacker. My son's a hacker, you know, and then and the next year, Jurassic Park, like, you know, she's a nerd. And like, I prefer to be called a hacker. That's what I said. A nerd, you know, but yeah, these computers, they had Microsoft Word and Math Blaster on floppy disk. That was it.
Yeah, and it was apparently very difficult to just scan a picture.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to imagine that in 1992. Like,
there's literally a scene in this where it takes Andy 5 minutes to scan one photo. And he has to scan it in the red, and then the blue, and the green, and then it combines it together.
Technicolor. It's like,
Technicolor, holy shit. Yeah. Only it's only like, you know, 5 megapixels.
Because I understand why my parents thought that a computer was just a glorified toy, because the first computer we had was in the early 90s. A family friend had bought whatever the newest, like, you know, Apple II or something, and sold his older computer. And yeah, the only two things that I ever did with it was if I had to write some document up or play games. That's floppy disk games. That's all
I used it for. I don't know if it did anything else. I think I like, oh, it had, you know, it had that talk to, like, you could write something and then it would say it. So you could write like boobs and penis and laugh. That's the only other thing I did too.
Yeah, I had a Packard Bell, which was a piece of crap computer that my dad got because he was cheap and didn't understand what computers were, which I think a lot of parents and a lot of boomers didn't know what the fuck computers were. So like, knowing what I know now, I'm like, everything that my dad did to try to buy that computer was completely wrong, and he asked the wrong questions and he believed the salesman. So, you know, we ended up getting a Packard Bell, and it broke because my dad at the time tried to go into the BIOS of a computer and fix things that weren't broken. And sure enough, he broke it.
God damn, it was, Mr. Connington, it's not a transistor fucking radio.
Yeah, no, well, it was, it's, yeah. And then the best part is he blamed it on me. Yeah.
Kids are he fucking
said
around
that my,
with it.
He said that my, I had, you remember when Independence Day came out and they had those floppy disks that.
Oh yeah. Came with the action figures.
Yes. Yeah. So like I put one in and he blamed that on the thing that caused the computer to die. And like, no, it's your dumbass going to the BIOS and somehow forcing it to be set to 16-bit color, which makes everything fail on it. But this isn't about that.
What is it? Is this sidebar number four? What are we up
to? There's a lot of sidebars here. I mean,
there's not a whole lot of movie to talk about.
There really isn't. There really isn't. Don't I have one more review? Did I go through all of them?
Let's see.
I got one. Do I got one more? Let's see. Yes. Oh, I got one more. Okay. So plastic surgery is used to explain away a recast lead, which is cool. All right. What isn't cool is that the guy blows his cover halfway through and everybody pretends that they didn't notice so we can still get a second half of the film. The film is definitively ends the trilogy, though, unless a potential part four wants to pull a Bride of Chucky. They called out exactly what you said, John. A Bride of Chucky will be the only thing that brings this thing back.
Stitch that motherfucker back up. Do some voodoo chants or something. Yeah. Oh, no, wait. I forgot. He's immortal, so he probably is fine. From being thrown in that wood chipper.
He'll have a scar on his face.
Yeah, he'll brush his shoulders off, be like, oh, that sucked, you know?
Yeah. But he is right, though. Like, the stepfather blows his cover multiple times in this movie. And he's just, as I said, he's just really dumb and trying to hide things. Like, he gets angry after... back it up here. He marries Christine. Okay, because like with previous stepfather movies, he can't have sex with anyone until he's married.
Like, and yeah, I know that like in this movie's universe too, it's supposed to, oh, he's such a good guy. He's like such a old style romantic. But what if it's the worst sex of your life? And I know that there are many things to a relationship beyond sex, but like,
that's a big deal.
It's a big, yeah. If you're not incommunicado in the sack, or he's got like a 1-inch dick and he like cries and farts the whole time.
Oh, well, he doesn't even do that. He does nothing. He's a dead fish.
Like, he's a pillow princess.
He just sits there like this. Just, yep. Having a good time.
He's the male version of a pillow princess. Just lie there and let her do all the work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but and what I find hilarious is, and again, like, you know that the director, Guy Magar, was like, I'm going to make this hot as fuck. So we're going to have Priscilla Barnes greased up. Like, they grease her the fuck up. And you've got stepfather just, yeah, I'm good. We're having fun. You ride me. It's cool. And in the background, you've got the window open. So, like, it's blowing. I just like, this is like Showtime level porn, but you're not even showing anything. There's no payoff.
Well, it's actually not a bad move by Psycho Dad here.
To just sit there.
Well, she knows how to get herself off, right? Like, so let her do all her favorite moves. You just stay stiff, brother. and just let her do all her favorite moves, and she'll think, wow, he's so good at sex. Like, no, you're really good at sex just using his dick.
We just lost like every female that we had on the podcast. Like, they're just gone. We're saying what's in the movie, folks. We're not
it's a bold
assholes.
It's a bold man to start straight with missionary. You know, I mean,
it is a bold man to go straight into that.
That guy, that kind of guy is confident enough that he's a no wiper. You know what I mean? I didn't even need to wipe. That's how confident I am.
Yeah. But so they get married and they have the most awkward sex ever. And at this point, everything starts to go downhill really fast because
it's the third act.
It's the third act. So stepfather starts to be an asshole to Andy and be extra controlling and doesn't like it that Andy's dad, played by Kowalski from Stargate SG-1, if you know, you know, that actor shows up. And yeah, he doesn't want Andy to go to his dad's for 2 weeks, which I'm like, dude, you're the stepdad. Why do you not want the bio dad to take some responsibility and, like, I don't know, give you and your new wife time by yourself?
Yeah, you could pound town her all over the, like, house.
You could do the most like dead fish sex all over the place. Like you could do all of that for 2 weeks, but you're upset because it's like,
he calls it rigor mortis, you know, fly there.
Yeah. I'm just like, you just got married to the hottest woman in all of bumfuck town, California,
Deer Creek Falls,
bumfuck town, California.
Yeah.
And you've got 2 weeks off without any kids and you're upset. You're upset about that?
Not
what's your deal?
Yeah. Not really a sidebar, but just, I do love that these movies with no budget that are just schlock, get them out as fast as possible, shoot them as fast as possible, edit them as fast as possible, just take place in California because that's where they are. You know,
yeah.
They're not going to pick up a crew of people and go to Illinois to shoot this. Like, no, it takes place in California because that's where we are.
That's, you know, fine.
I mean, Night of the Living Dead took place in Pittsburgh because George Romero and the whole crew were living in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You know? They're like, we're here. This is what we got. Yeah. Write what you know. And they know Pittsburgh. So, but yeah, so he gets upset that Andy leaves. And, yeah, at this time, this is where stepfather decides it might be a good idea to, in the same town, find a side piece. Because you got to have two families going on.
Well, doesn't he find out that she's now infertile or something like
that?
Well,
that was one thing. But, like, as soon as Andy left, he started, like, looking around for other things. But, and yes, the minute that they had the very weird, and like, they were only married for 6 weeks. Like, she mentions it somehow, like, well, it's been 6 weeks. It's like, you're 6 weeks in and you're now all of a sudden like, let's go to the doctor and talk about fertility treatments. Like, that's a little soon. Or you would think that maybe those would be things you would talk about, like, before committing to getting married. I know stepfather just wants to kill everybody, but, like, it seems strange.
I mean, maybe he's bone zoning her three times a day, like 6 weeks. What is that? 6, 24, 32. Carry the one, 40. That'd be 120 cream pies. So maybe he's concerned after 120, just like, you know, not in the butt, that he was like, hey, can you get pregnant, bitch?
But it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. But yeah, as soon as they have the whole doctor thing and the doctor says, like, yeah, you're not able to have children, that's when he really starts to dive into his side piece, who is, again, like, I don't understand how stepfather is able to just find these attractive women everywhere. But yeah, the woman who is going to rent his home is named Jennifer, and that's going to be his side piece. And he just jumps right straight into it. Like he, he starts playing. They have a montage of playing football because guess what? Her kid, who looks just like Andy but can walk, is playing football. So you know it's a step up. Literally.
Oh God. Sounds like something nice, Shay.
Yeah, it's something you would say. But yeah, it's like, oh wow, I've got my able-bodied kid, and now I can go switch to that. This is the movie, folks. This is not just me saying it, it's the film.
And look, but, if you want to be a serial killer, you want to be in a city, a small town, you're not going to get away with this shit. So he's like, I'll just kill this woman and her child, and then I'll go off with this bitch immediately. It's like, no, this is how 2020 and Dateline start. You know, they're going to immediately suspect you, and you're going to leave some kind of DNA behind, which later in the movie, they, you know, the Burger King Kids Club kid is like, we need to, hey, Fada, we need to get some DNA and fingerprints off this guy to see if he's Terry O'Quinn.
So. Courtesy of a fork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got the side piece. And yes, the father does try to help, but stepfather being stepfather is not going to let that happen. And he runs him off the road and then beats the fuck out of Father Brennan.
Which, in fairness, I'm sure Father Brennan has probably banged like a baker's dozen of kids. So it's all right.
Yeah. Knowing what we know now.
Well, you know, I'm sure there was a director's cut of where, you know, father just turned to Andy and went, hey, it's not going to eat itself.
Oh, John, come on. That's a step too far for 11 p.m. at night.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is that every priest is a pedophile.
That's all you're saying. John, is just every priest is a pedophile.
I don't understand. People are like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to P. Diddy or R. Kelly's music anymore. But it's like, but why do you go to church?
Well, he might be the good one, John. that priest might be the good one, the non-pedo and the pedo bunch. but yeah, Father Brennan gets it. It's bad. Lights his car on fire and throws it off a cliff. Like, it's almost like Stepfather 3 is the Looney Tunes version of Stepfather. Like, I almost was waiting for, like, when Wile E. Coyote falls off a cliff and you have a pop, and then it cuts to the next shot. Like, I was waiting for Father Brennan to show up again as Stepfather tries to kill him again. Like, it almost feels like that, like Wile E. Coyote.
I think Fada got a little too into the Sacramento wine before getting behind the wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. No one said that at his funeral.
Not enough body of Christ, too much blood of Christ, if you know what I mean.
Which his funeral, of course, takes place. I love this, that his funeral takes place on Father's Day. It's like, come on, man. And like stepfather rolls in and during the day, everyone's somber because Father Brennan's dead. And they're like, oh man, we're got to go to his funeral. And he just walks all right up and is like, guess what, everybody? It's Father's Day for me. And they're all just looking at him like he's fucking insane.
Mm-hmm. Well, this town has no concept of how holidays work because
no, they don't.
When stepfather is the Easter bunny, the one business owner is like, you're lucky, father, I'm letting him have the day off to be the Easter bunny. I'm like, it's Easter Sunday. Like, you sold all of your Easter flowers and plants already. You should be closed today, dude. Even if you're not religious, take the day off.
No one's working on Easter.
Yeah.
Nobody's Easter, coming into your Christmas store. Those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's Easter Sunday.
Yeah, and apparently
he even says later in the movie when Christine is asking him if he likes picnics, which is a stupid fucking question. Like, who says no?
Fuck you, Christine. Fuck you and your dates and your cheese.
Fuck you and your charcuterie board. I hate charcuterie boards and picnic baskets.
All right, I swear this is going to be my last sidebar. But I once saw
for real. I doubt that. But okay, go ahead.
our friend Kara Kraskowski, who's now Kara Stewart, she did Shakespeare in the Park, and they didn't close off all of the park. So like people were playing with their kids in the distance and dogs and everything. And it was, I realized that I was out of my league money wise because all the other people there were eating like caviar and like really high end shit, really expensive bottles of wine. And they're watching the Shakespeare in the Park on all these picnic, on the ground and everything. And somebody's golden retriever comes over and they're like, no, Roscoe, no. And Roscoe eats like what looks like $100 worth of caviar off this rich woman's plate. And I'm like, good, Roscoe, you go, boy.
Roscoe is a class warrior.
Yeah, Roscoe doesn't care for the elite.
He's the care for the 1%. It's like, fuck you and your caviar, it was delicious. Oh man, that's great. I don't know where I was at with that. Oh yeah. Stepfather 3.
So happy and, about Father's Day.
He's happy about Father's Day, which everyone's looking at him like he's insane. Because he is insane. And I love it how at the funeral for Father Brennan, keep in mind the whole town of 20 people shows up. Again, John, to your point, don't do this in a small town ever. Because in a small town, everybody knows everybody's business. And sure enough, Jennifer shows up at the funeral because there's only 20 people in the town. And what does stepfather have to do? Knowing that his side piece and his wife are going to exist in the same space. It's kind of like that movie Time Cop, you know, the same matter can't occupy the same space or else all hell breaks loose. And sure enough, stepfather says, I got to go away. This whole shit with Father Brennan, who I killed, I have to step away from it to avoid having to be in the same room as his side piece and his wife.
Brian, I can't believe that we are 315 episodes deep before we made a Time Cop reference.
I know, right? I know. And Time Cop's so good. It's so good.
Why do they cast Jean-Claude Van Damme, though?
Why do they catch Jean-Claude Van Damme? Why not? Why not, John? Why not? You got to have... Who else are you going to get who's going to do a split in the middle of a kitchen during a laser gun fight, okay?
That's true. But anytime I got my Van Damme, I need my Rod Julia chaser.
Yes.
Of course.
Of course. That's one we got to do. We've never done Street Fighter.
Oh, Street Fighter. Oh, I don't want to have to watch that again, dude.
But we got to do that one. Getting back to Stepfather 3. You can tell we really don't like Stepfather 3, by the way, with how many sidebars. I apologize to our listeners and viewers for if you've made it this far into the episode, you are true fans and I love you.
Well, but, I think we have two types of fans. Ones that love when we meander off topic.
I hope so.
And then the other half that fucking hate it. So we've lost the ones that fucking hate it. But the ones that love it when we just sidebar all the time, they're fucking loving this episode.
For you five people, thank you for continuing to listen. So at the end of this, stepfather decides that he's got to kill Jennifer because I guess he now suddenly wants to make it work with his wife, who he quite literally wanted to kill her five seconds ago.
He's a hopeless romantic.
Yeah, like, no, but I mean, like, he actually, like, he had a double-ended axe. And this is before he killed Father Brennan. He was literally going to kill her and Andy. Well, he was going to kill her because he didn't know Andy was coming home. But then because Andy showed up, he got, you know, the feels and decided, I'm not going to kill you today. But now that, you know, his side piece and his wife are talking, he has to kill Jennifer so that he can maintain normalcy with his regular family. And so he invites Jennifer to his, the hell is it? His greenhouse that he works
after,
in.
After he's killed his creepy ass boss.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so he had to kill the creepy ass boss.
Because we were due for another kill.
Yes. The kills happen in, I'd say, about every 5 to 10 minutes within this movie. You get a nice kill. You know,
yeah,
it's fine. Whatever. That's standard protocol for these 90s slashers.
Yeah.
But he invites Jennifer over to his greenhouse because, you know, he actually has the balls to like make Jennifer think that he wants to marry her. Like he literally says, oh, I'm not the marrying kind. I'd make a fantastic wife. I'm just going like, what? he's not that great. He's not that great.
He's a tripod.
He's got to be a tripod. Yeah. He absolutely has to be a tripod. There's nothing else to explain it. I think we said this during Stepfather 1 and 2, that the man must be extremely large. Because that's the only thing I can think of.
I know he would have been way too young, but they really should have cast, Magneto in this one.
Fassbender?
You know why Fassbender has to use the stationary bike instead of jogging?
Why?
Because it really chases nipples when his dick hits them.
He's got to be careful with the stationary bike so that his dick doesn't get caught in the gears.
Smokes. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, stepfather invites Jennifer over to kill her. And, of course, at the same time, you get this really weird scene where Christine is going to take a bath. And, you know, this was like the scene the director was like, I'm going to get her naked a little bit. You know, so she goes to take a bath and then has a conversation with her son while she's in the bath.
Weird.
Which is strange. I thought that was really bizarre. Like, maybe wait for that.
Well, they wanted skin plus exposition.
Yes.
And they got to get this movie done, Brian.
Yeah. No, I know this is the last 10 minutes of the movie. So, I get it. But I'm just saying, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. Like, the camera is literally looking at Christine getting naked and going to take a bath. And then 5 seconds later, Andy shows up, wheeled into the bathroom. Well, he's at the door. So he's not directly looking. So he can be he's not peeping on his mom. But it's still strange that he's having a conversation.
Well, that's how he gets off. That's the only way he can stand at attention, if you know what I mean.
Gross. It's gross, man. Nasty. It's not Mother's Day. Exposition dump happens, and they decide they're going to go to the greenhouse. And, of course, they encounter Stepfather, and they encounter Jennifer, who's been beaten the fuck out. Stepfather knocks out both of them. Both Christine and Jennifer, and is prepared to throw them into a wood chipper that we had seen earlier in the movie. Good job, movie, for showing us the wood chipper in the beginning of the movie and then actually letting us use it.
That's just good job. High quality filmmaking right there.
And it is.
They used good the wood job. Chipper before Fargo. So
that's right.
A whole 4 years, baby.
That's right. And this is the moment that we talked about earlier where Andy gets the strength to use his muscle atrophied legs to stand up finally, and he wheels his wheelchair right at Stepfather, knocking him to the ground to distract him long enough to then hide and forget how to walk again.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, maybe they are kind of trying to lean into the fact that his muscles would probably be completely worthless.
But he stood up.
Yeah.
He supported his body weight.
Literally and figuratively. He stood up literally, but also figuratively for his mom.
I like it when you did there. But the end comes for Stepfather in that, again, the Stepfather being the brightest crayon in the box, decides I'm going to put a ladder up in front of the wood chipper where anyone, especially a short, 9-year-old, could very easily knock me into the wood chipper. And what do you know? That little fucker does it to him anyway. Knocks him right into the wood chipper. And it wouldn't be a 90s slasher if we didn't have the fake out death.
Which we all saw it coming. The machine's not on and you didn't hear any screaming, did you?
No.
You know?
There was no blood.
They needed Casey Jones. Oops. Turn it on,
Yes. But no, you have a stepfather. He's just barely hanging on and he's grabbing Andy, trying to pull him in. Christine just yells at him and says, no,
no,
no. And that causes him to fall into the wood chipper and bleed everywhere.
It's like the Harry Potter thing, get
Don't touch my daughter, you bitch.
I think I said that wrong, but
that's Alien.
Well, the when the Weasley mom says, I don't know, I'm probably getting it wrong. Like, you know, yeah, I probably just pictured that one, but
it's okay. It's all right. It's cool. We got it. We understood it. But yeah, that's the end of Stepfather. Stepfather gets chipped the fuck out. He's Mulch. He ain't coming back. And we won't see him again until the reboot.
Brian, I got a question for you after all this.
All right.
Let's say this movie, $1.8 million budget. And I mean, I'm sure there was no money on marketing. Let's maybe give it $200,000 just to get it up to $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say this thing somehow makes $87 million. And they're like, it's just like all the Friday the 13th. Absolute crap. Rush them out. But then they make $1 trillion at the box office. How, you know, that they would bring Stepfather back, but I'm just, how would they have done it?
Stumpy.
Just like he's missing like a hand and a leg or something.
No, I think he would not have legs.
Okay. Yeah. It just took his legs off. Okay.
It just took his legs off. Like I could see him like, the moment when he falls in, because you never see his body, by the way, like you never see, you just see like the blood and viscera a little bit because clearly they ran out of money. So like you just see like the blood hits the wall. You see a little bit of blood in the chipper, you know, that's about it. So I can imagine that if we brought Stepfather back, you know, he probably wouldn't be in a wheelchair himself and missing legs. And he would use it as like, oh, I'm a war veteran, as you had said earlier. Because I think that's probably the most plausible thing, you know.
Because, yeah, it would, like say they make it in like 95, he could have been in the Gulf War.
Yes, exactly. And then maybe he's like hitting on a nurse at the VA hospital or something.
Ah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or maybe he would have magic legs like Lieutenant Dan.
Magic legs. Oh my God, Jenny is the next woman that he tries to seduce.
Wait a minute, you got AIDS? Oh, damn it.
Oh God. It was a trap the whole time. I knew the only way to get you, Stepfather, would be to get myself AIDS. That's the only way Stepfather can be truly defeated.
It's like how they got Capone on tax evasion. The only way to really kill Stepfather is to give him AIDS.
Oh my God. We were going to hell.
At what point did we lose control here?
I think it's when we hit record, John.
No, it's after we watched Stepfather 3. We were like, we have to actually break this down. We have to give an analysis of this.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I will be completely honest with our audience and with you. This is a fun, a much more fun watch than watching Madam Web, in my opinion.
I think
I get more joy out of this one.
I think it's the Schadenfreude in me that enjoys watching a multi-million dollar franchise tentpole for Sony crash and burn violently. I find that funny. But I'm a bad person. So I think
you're not a bad person, John.
But Stepfather 3 was like, it was a gamble, but they're like, if we put $2 million into it with the advertising, if it fails, it's a write off, you know. But like Madam Web, no, that's a disaster if it doesn't work, and it didn't work, and I find that funny.
Madam Web's a train wreck.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a train wreck in super slow motion. I can understand getting enjoyment out of that, but I'm just saying, like, if I was going to watch a movie, not just to laugh at it. Mm-hmm. Stepfather 3 fits that. It's a goofy fucking movie. And if you go into it knowing that it's a goofy fucking movie, you'll be okay. You know, would I watch this on a Sunday afternoon? Probably not.
Yeah, it's how do you like your horror? Do you want elevated horror? Do you want truly terrifying horror? Or do you want, goofy horror?
This is in the same realm for me as Leprechaun.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree on that. Yeah. I don't want to say it's in the same place as like the later Child's Play films, because those, I think they just went the Evil Dead route of going completely comedy.
Oh, absolutely.
Clyde and Son and Chuck, you know, all that stuff. So, but yeah, if you just want your horror goofy as fuck, then this would be a good time for you.
Well, like, think about it. Around this time period, John, you had goofy horror movies that were coming out.
The dark, you know, like, times.
It wasn't the dark times, but you had like,
oh,
Child's Play 3, where they're at the military school.
It's not the
which
dark
is time. Terrible.
Right. 90 to like 96 are the dark times.
Yeah, I enjoy early 90s horror movies.
That's because you were a kid and had HBO and Showtime.
That's right. You didn't. I did.
I had HBO.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But like I have some enjoyment of these early 90s because they're schlocky films and I like schlocky films. But yeah, like you had Child's Play 3, you had Evil Dead, the Army of Darkness, which is goofy as fuck, you know,
no longer horror though at that point.
No longer horror. You're right. But you had a lot of these very weird, like last gasps of movies that were probably very popular in the 80s, but not so much now. Like even Hellraiser 3, which is the one of the goofiest of the original series,
yeah,
that came out in, I think, 92 as well. So like it's these very strange, like trying to take that 80s aesthetic into the 90s. It didn't work. And that's where, you know, the slasher kind of died up until.
The slasher died, you know,
up until Scream.
Check our back catalog if you want to get Brian's feels on Scream.
There's a couple episodes there about my feels on Scream.
And we may be having somebody else come on as a third person on the show who loves Scream. So that could be very, very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun thing there. Fucking hate Scream.
I know, Brian, I
respect it.
Summer. I could see you hating that like movie because that movie is garbage. Are you?
I know that one. Summer. That one. I don't hate completely.
Oh,
because listen.
Okay.
I don't hate it completely because I find it hilarious. I find each one of the characters as archetypes for that era's quote unquote teeny boppers as hilarious. And when they all start getting picked off one by one, I crack up.
I was, yeah. Ryan Philopoulpe,
Philippi.
Yeah. His start at 11 in every scene and go up from there. Brilliant, brilliant acting choice, Ryan Filippo. Because like you know it's bad when Scary Movie like is mocking you, but it's like, oh wait, this actually seems like the same performance that we saw from Ryan, you know, Flintstone or whatever.
But I'm just saying, like, they're hilarious to me.
Yeah,
I watch that movie. I haven't seen that movie in decades, but I find it funny. That's my enjoyment out of it. Scream is trying too hard for me. Scream is like, we're trying to be the new slasher and we're trying to poke fun at slasher films. So that's where I have a problem with it. I Know What You Did Last Summer. It's in the same realm as the schlocky 90s slasher films.
Urban Legend.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great one too. That one's so good.
Valentine's. Is
yes.
it Valentine's Day?
It's
or Valentine.
It's just Valentine.
Valentine.
Yes.
When Denise Richards at her peak.
Denise Richards and David Boreanaz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to
remember him? Angel? Yeah.
Hey, he was on Bones for like 95 seasons, however long that show went.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Stepfather.
Stepfather 3, yeah.
Well, that's about our talk on Stepfather 3. I think we hit the end on that one. This is as you can tell, like, there's not a whole lot to this movie. And... thanks for sticking around.
It's the first one with an eighth of a budget and a 16th of the drive to make something good, you know.
Very true. Very true. Well, with that said, John, where can they find you at on the internets?
Facebook, Instagram. I'm still technically on Twitter. I won't call it the other thing, but I don't use that. So if you try to reach out to me, I'm not going to see it. And I'm on the YouTubes. So check out J-Dub's Video Nasties. It's my Pride Month. So I will be doing episodes on In-N-Out, which is a 1997 comedy movie, if you forgot that. And here's one you probably didn't forget, The Birdcage. So I will be going over both those movies. So check that out. And before I finish my plug into this, I do want to say, as a guy who has no kids, I want to say happy Father's Day to you, Brian.
Oh, well, thank you, John. That is really nice of you to say. And thank you. Happy Father's Day to all the dads and moms who are doing the work of dads, too.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate you, too. Yeah. It's fun. I already know what my Father's Day gift is already, though. I got it early. I got a tool chest because, you know, I think when you get to 38, that's what you get. But also, I really did need it. I have tools all over the house. And my wife was like, you need this. And I'm like, you're probably right.
Well, when you reach a certain age, you either get into smoky meats or like the Civil War.
I've already got into smoky meats. Yeah. I chose smoking meats. The sorting hat came for me and it said smoking meats, not Civil War.
Wait, so Brian, you didn't get amazing tools from Manscaped for Father's Day?
Ha ha.
I'm a sellout whore now.
You really are. You really are. They've already heard the ad once this episode, and you're hitting them again.
Apparently, this is what I was meant to be all along. I'm Krusty the Clown.
You really are Krusty the Clown. You're just going to be walking around just wearing your Manscaped shirt with no underwear, no pants on, no bottoms, just nothing. Just
being like, just like pointing at me.
Why are you so good? Manscaped, bitch. That's why.
Yeah.
There's that's why I got the confidence. Nothing down there at all.
No, I shaved so deep, I even took my balls off. They're gone.
I got a whole layer of skin gone. That's how it works. Skin safe technology? Damn right. Oh, shit. Well, with that said, happy Father's Day to you all. And you can find us all on all the social medias. But I want to ask you this question. Not ask this question, but just tell you this one thing. If you've liked this episode, if you got all the way through, congratulations, great job. But if you like this episode, do me a favor and share it with a friend. Seriously, share this link, share this YouTube video, share our podcast episode with a friend who you think might find this stuff funny. Maybe they're a cinephile, maybe they like movies, maybe they like the movie Stepfather 3, and you're like, hey, check out this episode. These guys are hilarious. Share it with them. On top of that, if you want to, you can go to cinemapsychoshow.com/follow, and you can subscribe to us on all the different podcast platforms. We have all the little buttons there. And of course, you can like, and you can follow, and you can subscribe to us on our YouTube channel by hitting the little button there. And of course, I do want to mention this too. We do have a survey that's going on, and the link for it is in the description of this episode. If you want to help us decide how the podcast is going to be going forward, maybe there's episodes you like, maybe there's episodes you don't like, do me a favor and take that survey. It helps us out, figure out what you all enjoy watching and listening to for episodes further. With that said, we will see you next time.
Happy Father's Day, everybody, except Andy from Toy Story, not you.